For the past 3 months, we have been bombarded with the mantra, stay home, protect the NHS, save lives. We were told to keep our distance from other people in order to save lives. We were told to wash our hands in order to save lives. We were told to avoid unnecessary travel in order to save lives. The only problem, folks, is that some lives seem to be more important than others. On Wednesday past, the English Premier League restarted. It was a day that football fans, myself included, had been looking forward to. But it soon became apparent that Project Restart, as it was known, was about more than just football. It was about the promotion of an organisation called Black Lives Matter. Instead of players' names on the back of shirts, it was Black Lives Matter. Before the opening match, all 22 players took the knee in an act of solidarity. Solidarity with a group that attacks police officers. Solidarity with a group that desecrates war memorials. Solidarity with a group that promotes sodomy. Solidarity with a group that wants to destroy the family unit. And the cheerleader for all this virtue signalling was Sky TV. May I suggest, folks, that if you have a subscription with Sky TV, now would be a good time to cancel it. Hit them where it hurts, in the pocket. Also on Wednesday in the House of Commons, 253 MPs voted to impose the most extreme abortion regime in Europe on our little country. Included among them was our own MP, Colm Eastwood, South Belfast MP, Claire Hanna, and North Down MP, Stephen Farry. It wasn't very long ago that Mr. Farry was calling for Linfield Football Club to change the colour of their kit. And yet he has no qualms about the slaughter of the pre-born. You wonder how these people can sleep in their beds at night. By the way, since these awful regulations had been introduced to Northern Ireland, and that was at the end of March, since then, 258 abortions have taken place. 258 little unborn babies have been murdered in the womb. So, folks, the message from the secular elite in our nation is crystal clear. Black lives matter, but babies' lives don't. Well, I want to tell you tonight that the Bible's message is very different. You see, the Bible makes it clear that black lives do matter, but it also makes clear that babies' lives matter. In fact, the Bible makes clear that all lives matter. Your life matters, my life matters. The life of every person on planet Earth, regardless of skin colour, matters to God Almighty. Let me share four thoughts with you tonight, 4 points that make it clear that all of us matter to God. All lives matter. First of all, let me say, all lives matter because they are made in the image of God. All lives matter because they are made in the image of God. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Every person on planet Earth matters to God because they are made in his image. Man is different from the animals. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a dog admire a beautiful sunset? Of course you haven't, because the animals are different to us. You and I can appreciate a beautiful sunset. We can appreciate this beautiful evening tonight as we worship God in the open air, but the animals can't. They don't. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever seen a horse admire a mountain range? Well, again, the answer is the same. No, you haven't. Of course you haven't, because the animals are different from us. Man is not an animal. He is a special creation. You see, man, because he is made in the image of God, he has a conscience. And when your conscience is regulated by the Word of God, then it is a very wonderful thing. And friend, let me urge you tonight to follow your conscience. Don't ignore your conscience. As your conscience tonight tells you that you need to repent and believe the gospel, obey what your conscience is telling you to do. Man is different from the animals. He's made in the image of God, and he has a conscience. He not only has a conscience, but he has a mind. The animals don't have a mind, they just have an instinct. But man has a mind, and the reason he has a mind is to worship God. You see, every one of us worship someone or something. It's just the way that we have been created. We have been created to worship. We have been created with a mind that enables us to worship. And man also has a soul. Because he's made in the image of God, he has an immortal soul. The most precious thing that he possesses. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we have the record there that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In the creation of the animal kingdom, you don't read that God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul. No, you don't read that. This is unique to mankind. He is special. He is different. He has a soul. And that soul is immortal. And that soul will live forever. It will live forever either in heaven or in hell. I wonder, whenever your soul goes out into eternity, and whenever you leave the body behind, as you must do, sooner or later, where will your soul be? You can live it up right now. You can enjoy all the pleasures of sin that you can cram into your life, but you can't avoid the appointment that will come someday. Your appointment with God, your appointment with your Maker, your appointment with eternity. Where will you spend eternity? This question comes to you and me Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you spend eternity? The book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 24, reinforces the teaching that man is made in the image of God. Acts 17, verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. You see, folks, there is only one race, the human race. There are people today who like to be divisive, and they like to divide people according to skin colour. Well, God Almighty doesn't do that. He's not bothered about the colour of a person's skin. And by the way, we shouldn't be bothered either. All God is interested in is the fact that people are made in His image, and it is His desire that they be saved. We played the little children's chorus this morning in our drive-in service. Jesus loves the little children. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the children of the world. All lives matter because they are made in the image of God. But secondly, all lives matter because they have been given the law of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. God has given us His law. The Creator of the universe has given to humanity the Ten Commandments. And He not only gave us the Ten Commandments once, but twice. You see, we read in Scripture that Moses went up the mountain. He received the commandments on Sinai. But then when he came back down, because the people had rebelled and had built the golden calf, Moses smashed the Ten Commandments. But then the time came whenever God called Moses back up the mountain again to receive the commandments again. And so in Scripture, the Ten Commandments are given not once, but twice. In Exodus chapter 20, and in Deuteronomy chapter 5, you have the Ten Commandments. The only problem is, folks, that fallen man cannot keep the Ten Commandments. Fallen man cannot keep the law of God. It is an impossibility. There are some people who view God's law as a kind of ladder to heaven. But the law of God was never intended to be some kind of ladder that you climb and earn heaven. No, the law of God was given to us to show us our sinfulness and our need of a Saviour. And so it is impossible for us to keep the law of God. It's impossible for us to merit heaven by our good deeds. It was Bishop Ryle, the Anglican Bishop of Liverpool, who said that man trying to keep the law of God and earn heaven is like someone trying to climb a rope of sand. Have you ever climbed a rope of sand? No, you haven't. And what's more, you never will, because it's impossible. And it's impossible for fallen creatures of the dust, for sinful wretches of humanity, to keep God's holy law. God has given us this law to show us our need of Christ. Let's take just one of the Ten Commandments this evening. We could go through all 10, but we don't have time to do that. Let me just leave one with you. It's the 7th commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Many people break this one. For example, Neil Ferguson, professor at Imperial College London. It was his wildly exaggerated modelling of the likely number of deaths from COVID-19 that led Prime Minister Boris Johnson to impose the draconian lockdown. Ferguson is married but estranged from his wife. During the lockdown, he had 2 visits from a married woman. Saddest and most disturbing of all is the fact that the media, politicians, and the general public were more concerned about his flouting of social distancing rules than they were about his immorality. They were more concerned about social distancing than immorality. Of course, Professor Ferguson is no stranger to controversy. Back in 2001, he was behind the monstrous slaughter on suspicion policy to eradicate foot and mouth disease that led to the bloodiest episode in the history of British agriculture. 6 million cattle, sheep and pigs were slaughtered. Most of them were healthy. The cost to the UK economy was estimated at £10 billion. A vet at the time called the policy carnage by computer. There are horror stories of desperate farmers barricading their animals inside their homes to escape the slaughter men. And by the way, folks, 60 of those farmers committed suicide. To add insult to injury, Professor Ferguson received an OBE in the 2002 New Year's Honours. You couldn't make it up. So the man behind the lockdown is an adulterer. But the reality is, friends, that any one of us could be guilty of adultery. You see, to commit this sin, you don't even need to meet up with someone. You can do it just by looking at your smartphone, your iPad, or your laptop. You can do it by looking at someone as you drive down the street. Yes, all of us have been given the law of God, but sadly, we have all broken it. So folks, it's a level playing field tonight. As one old preacher put it, it's a level playing field at the foot of the cross. We are all guilty. But let me move on to the good news. Not only do all lives matter because they are made in the image of God, and because they have been given the law of God, but thirdly, all lives matter because they can be saved by the Son of God. We read earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Don't you just love that? God wants all men to be saved. And if you're within earshot of this message tonight, that includes you. God wants you to be saved from your sins. You realize tonight, perhaps for the first time, that you're guilty. And you say, is there any hope? Well, of course there is. The one who created us has provided salvation for us. And it is possible for us to be saved. And to be saved tonight. John Wesley used to say, all men need to be saved. All men can be saved. And all men can know that they are saved. Well, how is it possible for a person to be saved? How is it possible for all lives on planet Earth to be saved by the Son of God? Well, it's possible because of the great sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made at Calvary. You see, if we read on in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we come in verse 6 to these words, who gave himself a ransom for all. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross a ransom for all lives. There have been some stupendous ransoms paid in the history of mankind. Just go back 10 years, and there were two incidents in the Indian Ocean where Somali pirates hijacked ocean liners and massive ransoms had to be paid. One of the ransoms was $10 million. Another ransom was $7 million. That's a lot of money. But folks, I want to tell you tonight that the greatest ransom that has ever been paid was paid at a place called Golgotha nearly 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, died in your place and in mine. He paid the ransom. Now remember that he paid it in full. There's some of you think that he paid the half of it, and you have to pay the other half. You say, well, Jesus paid the price, but he didn't pay it all, and I've got to live a good life and go to church and keep the commandments and the Sermon on the Mount, and I've got to be a good neighbor and all the rest of it. No, you don't. You're wasting your time. You can't pay the ransom. I can't pay the ransom. It's already been paid. And all you've got to do is just come as a sinner to Jesus and cry out to him in prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. All lives matter. Because they are made in the image of God. All lives matter because they have been given the law of God. All lives matter because they can be saved by the Son of God. Let me finish tonight by saying this. All lives matter because they are destined for the judgment of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Must. Now when you see the little word must, it means that you can't avoid it. It's compulsory. It's forced. These last 3 months there's been a forced lockdown. There's been a compulsory lockdown. I want to tell you that the judgment of God is compulsory. And no one can avoid it. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's appointed. We must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But it not only says we must, it says we must all. Every person in this car park tonight must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every person in new buildings tonight must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every person on planet Earth must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. No one can avoid it. Are you ready for that day? You know, there were people at the start of this lockdown who were alive, but they're not alive anymore. Aye, they've gone out to meet their Maker. They've gone to the judgment. I pray that they were ready. But the question is, are you ready? God has been good to you. He's kept you alive. There's still breath in your body. Your heart's still beating. And it's only the grace of God that keeps it beating. And your next breath is given to you by God. Friend, you need to prepare for the judgment of God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Aye, it's the judgment seat of Christ. You see, on that day, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the great magistrate. Today, He is the mediator. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. And He invites you to Himself. And the reason why we're having these drive-in services is because we want you to be saved. We want you to be ready for the judgment of God. It'll be very easy for us just to sit on the couch these Sundays. It'll be very easy. I would have no problem. I could do it very easily. I could just sit at home these Sunday evenings, put a video on YouTube and say, that's all right. Just leave it at that. But no, friends, it's the call of the gospel. It's our duty as believers that brings us out to share this glorious message. And we are saved, and we want you to be saved too. And if you'll permit me to refer back to old Bishop Ryle for a moment, it was the good old bishop who said that the most selfish thing that a person can do is to go to heaven alone. Now, as believers, we must bring others with us. And so we are here tonight sharing the glad tidings of salvation, because we realize that every one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.